Tonight, Shotgun, the topic is hope. Justin read out of Ephesians chapter 2, and you know, prior to Christ, guys, we had no hope. And we were without God in this world. And there are, honestly, I feel really bad for people who are outside of Christ, because there is no hope apart from Christ. But in Christ, there's great hope. And so, I'm just going to give the order. You guys make sure you tell the passage for people who are listening online. So Matthew, you're going to be first. Dave Dobson, you're next. Then Lorenzo, then Roger, then Will Serrano. So, let's give us some hope,
guys. Let's do it.
I'm going to be really strict on the time. I was thinking about shortening it down to 4 minutes, but I told you all five, so go for it.
All right. You got 5 minutes.
All right, my passage is Psalm 37, verses 18 through 22. Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. 33. Did I say something different first? 33, verses 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, and those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let Your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in You. You know, in today's world, we live in a world that is led by emotions. People base their relationships on emotions, on feelings. They base their financial decisions, their lives, and their hope on emotions. And emotions are real things, and feelings are real things. But the thing about emotions is that they change. And the further you get into the eternity timeline, the less and less significant the emotions that you're feeling are right now. So let's not put our hope in emotions or anything that can fade away, but let's put our hope in someone who delivers our soul from death, someone who is our help and our shield, someone who grants us loving kindness. Flip forward a couple pages to Psalm 37, verse 4. I just was reading this today, and I wanted to find a way to work it in. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know, the thing is, if you do delight yourself in the Lord, the desires of your heart are going to be the same desires of God. And honestly, the only desires worth having are those of God. Likewise, the only hope worth having is in Jesus Christ and in His kingdom, which will last forever. This past weekend, me and Caleb and my dad and my uncle Matt, we were working on our fence. We had to replace a couple fence posts. And the way they did it, I don't know, however long ago, was they dug a hole in the ground, then they poured concrete, and then stuck the posts in the concrete. So what we had to end up doing was completely digging that, 2 or 3 foot concrete thing out of the ground. And I mean, the ground was real dry, and digging wasn't very easy. And there were times like we knew we were getting close, and it was just so slow going. But we knew the end had to be near. We knew we had to be getting that concrete out of the ground sometime soon. And the same is kind of true. I know my grandpa Jay said one time, every day we should wake up and ask ourselves, is today the day that the Lord is coming back? Is today the day? And we know that we always want to have our lamps lit for when the King returns. And, the thing is, it may seem like it's tough going. We got to keep that hope, because we know that He is coming soon. And we know that the thing about God is He is true on His promises, and He will deliver. I'm just going to close here with a verse, Psalm verse 27 and verse 14, just some encouragement for us to keep up the hope. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Thank you.
Good evening. Well, what is it? What does Kevin always say? You can't put your hope in Cowboys and Steelers and Dolphins and okay. Oh, that's right. It's the Broncos. Oh, you don't put your horses in men. Yeah, that's it. If you're going to say it right, right? You would think I'd be able to pinch that. Thank you. My verse is out of Lamentations, chapter 3. And, yeah, I don't want to put a downer on it, but the suicide rate for this country and the age group of between 20 and 30 has skyrocketed. They have lost hope. And it began when they started taking God out of everything in this country. And these four-year-olds in the 60s, they've grown up without a God. And without Jesus, there's just no hope. You know that, and I try to tell my children that. I try to tell their friends that. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Chapter 3, Lamentations, and I go from 19 to 28. Luke, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't have the internet, so. Remember now. Remember my affliction and my wandering and the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I hope. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases. For he is compassion, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone, be silent, since he has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dirt. Perhaps there is hope. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Psalm 130. We want to flip over there. Young Mr. Wilson had used my 33:18. That was his. Bam, right on it. And that's okay. Psalms 130. While you're there, I'm going to read 33:18 again real quick. Behold, in the eye of the Lord is those who fear him and those who hope for his loving kindness. Psalms 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. I asked a few people today, where their hope lied. they had no hope. Well, I hope I feel better later. I hope things get better. I hope things will get better. Well, that's not hope. I mean, okay, it is to a certain point, but there's no substance to their hope. They need something solid.
1 minute.
Something solid to focus on. The cornerstone. The love and kindness of our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is the cornerstone of our foundation. He is our hope.
Well, good evening. It sounded like to me that Matthew and Luke Wilson are just spending a little bit of time and getting a little more comfortable with fence work now, but I guess they're going to have to come out and help us at our property. We got plenty of stuff to dig up. I mean, we got plenty. Well, that's okay. We'll teach you everything you need to know. All right, so my verse is Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 through 21. And this is actually a prophecy out of Isaiah 42. But here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." You know, I was reading over this, and then I jumped over to Isaiah 42, and something that stuck out to me was the Gentiles, the nations. You know, I see many times in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, saying the nations. And obviously we are part of the Gentiles. We were. And in, I was actually jumping to Psalm 33 as well. But Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." The theme of Sam and Nolan's wedding was 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You know, we're God's own possession, really. And when I was reading this, I was like, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And I was like, wow. And, you know, Matthew chapter 12, it's talking about he'll give the Gentiles hope. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. I mean, what a greater hope there is out there. There is no other hope, actually. You know, what actually has substance? It's the Word of God. Then I started looking at Acts chapter 10. In verse 34. And this is where Peter, he sees a vision. He sees foods that are unclean for him to eat. And he's like, I will not kill and eat, but he's supposed to go talk to the Gentiles. In verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, it says, "Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Going back to that Psalm 33 verse, you don't have to turn there with me. It's Psalm 33, what Matthew was reading. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him." The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. It's Acts 10. "But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Going down in Acts chapter 10 to verse 38. It says, "You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how
he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. You know, going back to that Matthew chapter 12, so he will put his spirit on him. He's healing the people there. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So what is our hope in? What is our hope? Our hope is in the Word of God. You know, our hope is that we know that we are God's own possession. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And there's nothing more that really matters in life, honestly. It's so easy to get caught up with all these things, like Matthew was saying. It's just, be caught up in emotions and feelings and everything. None of that matters because, in, like I said, in the realm of eternity,
1 minute,
you won't remember anything. I like to think of it as, you know, find the smallest object you can see. Maybe you can't even see it because it's so small. And that's your life on earth. And everything else is eternity. You're gonna really risk all of this for this one little thing. A few years ago, I heard this saying by this one guy, and it really impacted me. And I'm sure a few of you might have heard this. But he said, you know, earth can be the only heaven you experience or the only hell you ever experience. Think about that. Are you going to risk everything, eternity? This can be the worst it can ever be, or it can be the best. And there's not much hope in this world. So that's what I want to close with tonight. Thank you.
Passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11. Hope. The world has a view of hope, and then God has a view of hope. The world says, you know, you say, are we going to get there in time? Well, I sure hope so. The world's view of hope is really a belief in something that we want or think is going to happen, but we're maybe unsure if it will. That's the definition of hope in the world's mind. But that's not God's definition of hope. I read a quote that said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came about us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we were despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also join in helping us through our prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Verse 9 there, we see that these guys had a sentence of death on them. Pretty much they were looking around, and any way they saw it, they weren't going to make this out alive. In the flesh, they said, we're going to die. And that's where they would have stayed if they would have kept their mind on the flesh, that they were going to die. There was no hope for them. No hope in the flesh. God was their only hope. That was their only place to turn. We pause and we think about it for a minute. That's the truth. There's nothing we can do apart from God's will. I want you all to take a real deep breath. I feel pretty good, huh? Now I ask you the question, though. Who allowed that breath? Well, that's an easy one. God did. I'm able to walk back and forth up here. It seems pretty easy. But who allows that? Well, that's an easy one. God does. You see, we have this assurance. We have this hope that we can do the everyday things that we do every day without thinking about. Because they seem easy to us. But really, when you start to break it down, all that it takes to take a breath in and out is no simple task in itself. For most people to walk, it's no simple task. All that has to come together for that to take place. But then see, when things get out of our comfort zone, when things start going just a little bit of what we're not used to, our hope starts to fade. Because we're not used to it. Why is this? Well, because if we stop and think again, we actually think we have some control over walking. We actually think we have some control over breathing. But in all reality, we have no control that is not given to us by God. You see, that came to a reality for me when my wife went through a seizure that took the breath away from her for a while. I had to go through this in my mind because that left me in a place of fear. She wasn't breathing and I had to witness this. And that's the conclusion that I came to. Is there's no reason to fear. Because every breath, whether we struggle with it or not, is given to us by God. God has it in control, and that's a pretty good place to be once you sit back and you realize that God says, okay, I got the control board. You're like, I like that. I don't know what all these buttons do anyway. So go ahead. I'll sit back and I'll ride with you. Let you drive the wheel. I trust you. I know where you're going. My focus is on you. See, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. If our faith is in the right place, we don't have the hope of the world. We have a true everlasting hope.
Amen, church. Good evening. We need some help with this. My scripture is in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a shotgun, you know, preaching, and kind of has a, to me, it's just a Western feel, you know, kind of a country feel when I think about that. And so I was thinking about that. Am I a Antonio Banderas or a Lou Diamond Phillips in this deal here? But I wanted to share a story with you guys from our ranch. And it's not a fencing story, but it's something that happened here actually yesterday. And so we go to our place, and like typical, we're out there working, and we show up, the horses are there, and we're running them out of there. Our neighbor's horses, rather. And we leave at the end of the day, and as we're driving down the road, we have no reception over there. And my phone, I get a text message. And it's my neighbor asking us if we can go back over there and check on his horses and the water trough, make sure they have water because he's not going to be there for a while and the weather's getting hot. So we're like, oh, should I drive? Should I turn around? We're already coming into town. So I make a U-turn and we go back over there and we go to take a look at this. And like usual, I send my wife out to go take a look at that. You know, trust and obey. Go take a look at that. And she looks back and she was like, oh, no. You know, come back over here. And we're like, what is going on? Well, the water is absolutely not drinkable. I mean, it was infested with you name it. I mean, it was nasty. It was black. And it's like 200 or 300 gallons of water. Okay, so you just think of this like a black water. I mean, it's and no wonder the horses were at our place, the neighbor's horses. They were up there because they wanted water, and they were drinking water from wherever they could get it. So we started bucketing out the water out of this trough, thinking that, you know, this is going to be what we need to do, try to get as much of it as out as we could. And we realized, you know, we're not going to be able to finish this. We've got to get going. So we scrambled to find a bucket, and it had some holes in it, and we put as much water as we could in there, and hey, that's what you get, you know? And we'll let the neighbor, when he gets back, take care of the rest. And as I started thinking about this stuff, it dawned on me why the horses were at our place, is because the neighbor's horses, is because the condition of this water. And I started thinking about this situation. I'm like, you know, no matter, you know, we are spiritually dead when we're outside of God. And this water represented to me what we were like spiritually before we were in Christ. And I started thinking about the living water that Christ has for us. In John chapter 4, you know, Jesus, in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And I thought about that, and I was like, it was a comparison that I could easily understand, to see this dark water that was contaminated, it was tainted. And I can guarantee you, even after we scooped it all up, if I were to fill that up with water, it would still not be drinkable. And I thought about how God is able to transform each and every one of us. And that gave me some hope. I was thinking, wow, you know, here we were spiritually dead, and Justin hit right on that in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in our trespasses. And as we continue to grow in our faith, we start seeing that. We start seeing God has done something in our lives. The Holy Spirit continues to work in our life and continues to show you what He has brought you out of. That's what gives us joy and peace, knowing that God has cleansed us and that He has brought us into His kingdom to receive all of these gifts that He has promised. And I just want to leave that with you guys, that no matter how difficult the situation is, we have an incredible God. And I know there's some people out here that are facing some challenges, you know, and there's some major challenges, but to be honest with you, a lot of us are facing just what I would consider minor in comparison. And we still have to be faithful, and we still have to remember the great things that God is doing in our lives. Amen, church.
All right, let's stand. I like shotgun. I like the Western feel. I like being infused with some hope from the Word of God. Man, that was encouraging to me, guys, for sure. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, You are mighty God. Father, You are eternal. The great I am. Lord, You see so much further than any of us can see. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So, Father, really it's incredibly difficult and really impossible sometimes for us in particular situations to even know exactly what to pray for. But as we cry out to You, Lord, we know that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And the Spirit who searches our hearts knows Your mind and Your will. So, Father, we do fear You. And we know that Your eye is upon us. And we know that You do cause all things to work together for good to those who love You and to those who are called according to Your purpose. We are so blessed, Lord, that You have brought us into Your family. And while we can never know all of the particulars and the way that things are going to play out, and sometimes in the middle of situations, we can't understand them. And even, Lord, the great Apostle Paul, there were circumstances in which he despaired even of life in this realm.
in all of that. Lord, it is so that we would trust not in ourselves, but in you. And so, Father, our hope is set on you. We thank you for everything that you have done, the way that you have given witness to yourself, that we know you are good. We know that you are faithful about your promises. And so, Lord, we step ahead in great hope, and we help each other up. We grab each other by the hand and lift each other up and take that next step in hope. A hope that we know is sure because it is based on you. We just thank you for everything you've done for us and everything you continue to do. We ask, Lord, that you would be glorified through us individually and as a congregation here in Billings, that other people would see in us that real hope and come to know you through it. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.